So much of Christianity comes down to learning the language. You have to learn to call the front hall the narthex. You have to learn to call the Board of Trustees the vestry. You have to learn to call our weekly remembrance of the last meal Jesus ate Holy Eucharist. You have to learn to call the bread box, the wafers used at Holy Communion, are kept in the ciborium. You have to learn to call the young adults who help at the Eucharist acolytes. And you have to learn to call the first 4 weeks before Christmas Advent. Advent means coming. What is coming to us? A set of new rules to be followed that will make our lives turn out okay? A bold new philosophy that will help us make sense of the mysteries of life? A feeling of deeper satisfaction with ourselves and our world? No. Advent is when we are trained to ask not what is coming to us, but rather who is coming to us. A parishioner recently went to a lecture by a famous novelist. When I saw her a few days later, I asked the predictable question, well, what did he have to say? So this person repeated in some detail the points the novelist made in his talk, his theories on the writing of fiction, the importance of plot and historical detail in the writing of novels, other key ideas. Did you meet him, I asked. There was a reception after the talk, so I hung around and I did get to shake hands with him. I told him how much I enjoyed his most recent work, but about all he did was smile half-heartedly and shake my hand. I don't think he has much of a personality. He seemed awfully shy. But none of that bothered her. I didn't really go to personally meet him. I went to hear what he had to say. I don't need to know about a writer's life in order to enjoy or learn from their novels. And that's true. And yet, what the parishioner said about the importance of a novelist's words and the relative unimportance of their lives is in contrast to Mark and today's gospel. It's the second Sunday of Advent. And as is our pattern, every year on this second Sunday, we encounter John the Baptist. The assigned gospel contains the first verses in the first chapter of what most people believe is the very first gospel, Mark. The beginning of the good news, gospel, about Jesus Christ, God's Son. And in saying that, Mark creates a new literary form called gospel, good news, in order to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ. Mark has some breaking news, headlines, a momentous announcement about Jesus Christ, God's Son. And to introduce Jesus Christ, Mark, as do all the other gospels that follow him, allows John the Baptist to give us that news. Now, John the Baptist is a strange figure. He dresses in a strange way, wearing scratchy animal skins. And he eats odd food, locusts, insects. He does his preaching in the wilderness, perhaps because someone as strange as John wouldn't be allowed to preach in any self-respecting congregation in town. You'd better get cleaned up, he says, because the long-awaited Messiah is on his way. Mark says that people surged out into the wilderness despite the distance, despite the inconvenience, to hear John's message. Jerusalem emptied out, it seems, and even the residents of the hinterland in Judea, they all came out to hear John preach. In other words, John must be some kind of preacher. If someone said, I went to church today and the preacher's sermon was so great that I couldn't get a seat, you should have seen the crowd, well, what would you say? Surely you'd ask, well, what did the preacher say? What was it about the sermon that drew so many people? Great crowds came to hear John preach. Okay, tell us, Mark, what did John the Baptist say? One stronger than I am is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend over and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Yes, and then what? What else did the preacher say? That's it. I know Mark is the shortest of all the Gospels, but don't you think we deserve a bit more than the two sentences of the John the Baptist sermon that Mark gives us, these two sentences that draw such crowds of enthusiastic listeners to the wilderness? Surely there's more said than that. A generation ago, a group of scholars formed something called the Jesus Seminar. One of the projects of this gathering was for biblical historians to take the Gospels and put them under their historical microscope to determine the really, really, truly, truly authentic sayings of Jesus. They put every verse of the Gospels under scrutiny, and they took a vote using various colored marbles to indicate maybe Jesus said it, perhaps Jesus said it if he was having a bad day, or no way would have Jesus ever said anything like that. And how much of what we have in the Gospels of the words of Jesus are absolutely, certainly the very words of Jesus? Well, not much, according to the Jesus Seminar. Only a small portion of what's attributed to Jesus was actually said by Jesus, according to the votes of the Jesus Seminar. Of course, in a thoughtful response to the antics of the Jesus Seminar, the New Testament scholar, Dean of Duke Divinity School, Richard Hayes, asked, "Hey, Jesus Seminar, who told you that Christians worship the words of Jesus? We don't. Well, we don't worship what Jesus said. We worship Jesus." Perhaps that's why, even though he reports on the spectacular reception of John the Baptist's sermon, Mark gives us so little of that sermon. John the Baptist was not attempting to give a description of Jesus or spin out some theories on the significance of Jesus' thought. John was attempting to point to Jesus. John was mainly of significance by being the very first to point to this unassuming young man from Nazareth and say, "Look, God's son." The great 20th century theologian Karl Barth said the greatest Christian painting of all time was by Matthias Grunewald. It is the Eichenham altarpiece. It's a rendition of Christ on the cross. You have it in your leaflet this morning. It's a work of excruciating, which means from the cross, detail, as the flayed, tortured body of Christ hangs limp on the cross. On one side stands Mary, the mother of Christ, and on the other side stands John the Baptist. And it's the figure of John the Baptist that most interested Karl Barth. John the Baptist, of course, wasn't present at Christ's crucifixion. And yet he stands there, holding open a Bible and pointing with a long, bony finger towards Christ on the cross. Barth said this was not only a deeply Christian painting, but also a painting that illustrates the task of preaching. John the Baptist, said Barth, is the model for all Christian preachers. Preachers are at our best when we point to Christ, when we witness to the mystery of the cross, when we point away from ourselves and toward Jesus. And the sermon? The sermon, said Barth, is merely that long, bony finger of John the Baptist, pointing away from the preacher and toward the crucified Christ. I remind you, in the very first sentence in Mark's Gospel, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son. Mark doesn't say this is an introduction into the philosophy taught by Jesus or the elucidation of some basic principles about Jesus. Mark says this is good news of the arrival of Jesus Christ, God's Son.
Mark doesn't say, I've got some good news for you, and if you really carefully listen to this news and try hard to put these precepts into practice in your life, you'll find your life will get better. Mark says, good news, God is here, God is with us. It is said by Muslims that Muhammad cared enough about humanity to leave a book that contains the truth. Jesus, in another gospel, says not, I've come in order to dictate a great book, or I've come to tell you some truth. Rather, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus doesn't just bring us some beautiful words about God or share some great insights into God. Jesus, Mark says, was none other than God's Son, that is, God with us. Down through the ages, we've had some great words from God. The Ten Commandments are clear and decisive in revealing to us God's will for us. Yet we break those commandments. The words of the prophets calling for righteousness and justice are stirring and dramatic. Yet we rejected the prophets. Is there anything more beautiful and artful than the cadences of the Psalms? Yet the ugliness of human history is ever before us. Our need is deeper than the need for more words about God. I'm reminded of that great song sung by Eliza Doolittle. Words, 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 I'm so sick of words. Nothing less than God will do. And that's what we get in Jesus Christ, God with us. Jesus preached some stirring sermons. He pronounced some beautiful truths. But mostly what he gave us was himself, touching the untouchables, reaching out to the forgotten, the homeless, the vagrants, and the dispossessed, sharing a meal with outcasts, sinners, and brokenhearted. And at the end of the story that John the Baptist begins, Jesus will gather with us in an upper room, break bread, and share a glass of wine, saying, this is my body, this is my blood given for you. Jesus preached, God is here now. John preached, God is here now with us. And I think that's why so many came out from town to hear him, venturing out into the wilderness. It wasn't what John said in his sermons that attracted them. It was the one to whom John pointed to in the sermons. Christianity is not some new and useful philosophy of life. The Christian faith isn't some knockdown, surefire collection of techniques that can make your life go better. Christian faith is faith in Jesus, the conviction that God is with us, that God refuses to be relegated to the realm of the ideas. God refuses to be turned into an abstraction, a memory, God with us. And that's good news indeed. Because I bet you haven't come here today just to hear me elucidate a few good ideas about God. You come here hoping to be met by God. You don't need any more good ideas. You need presence. You need relationship. You need to know that God is here for us. And so I proclaim it. And in a few moments, you will come forward, kneel, stretching out your empty hands and being given the body and blood of Christ. Get ready. Christ is coming. God is with us. Amen.